Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What do you do when you're faced with an illegitimate law, a law that's actually lawless, a law that is contrary to the natural created order, to natural law, to revealed law, when you're put in the situation where you have to decide between obeying God versus man? When you're, for example, like Daniel, who was told you can only pray to the king for the next 30 days and no one else. That is a law of the land that conflicted with revealed law, that he had only one God, and that was not the king. And therefore, should he go underground or should he resist? What do you do when you're faced with a law like that? Well, we are faced with such a decision or opinion, I should say, of five lawyers on this issue of marriage. This is a lawless opinion. It is not based on the Constitution. It is against the natural created order, against natural law. It's against revealed law. What do you do with this opinion of five lawyers? You resist it. You treat it as what it is, an illegitimate, lawless opinion. What does that look like? We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, founder of BobWire.com. Matt, we have mentioned before on this and other venues that if a decision comes down, as it has now come down, and now subsequently when the decision or opinion did get written by five lawyers, that in fact it would be an illegitimate opinion, just like many of the opinions of the Supreme Court through history that no one would defend now, and that we ought to resist it. But the question comes up is, what does that resistance look like? Let's talk about it. Here's just one example to start the conversation. In 2004, Catholic Charities was located in Massachusetts, and that was the first state that had a 4-3 decision on same-sex marriage. It was 2003, and it became implemented in 2004. Well, after that decision came into being, and it was a 4-3 opinion, and then you had a governor and a state that ultimately pretended as though it was the rule of law, Catholic Charities was approached, and they were told, you've got to now place children in same-sex households with same-sex parents. They said that conflicted with their beliefs. Well, the state said, if you don't, you've got to stop doing adoptions. So they stopped doing adoptions rather than compromise their values. What would resistance really look like? Stopping your call? No. Continuing your call to place children in homes with moms and dads and resisting the state that wants to force you to violate your beliefs and let them come out with their police state to stop you and see where the conflict ultimately goes from there. I believe people will rise up and say enough is enough.
And there's strength in numbers, Matt. The more people who stand in civil disobedience against this unjust opinion of these five unelected, unaccountable justices, the more America will wake up. And this is in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr., Matt. And he said this. He said, one has not only a legal but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. He says, what is a just law? A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. Well, you can't get more out of harmony with God's law and the rule of law than this opinion of these five unelected justices here, Matt. And this isn't a matter of whether Christians, you know, have the, you know, kind of maybe they should engage in civil disobedience here. Listen to this. Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the apostles answered, quote, we must obey God rather than men. And then James 4:17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So my perspective on this, Matt, in the clear context of Scripture and in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr. here, to not engage in civil disobedience here and push back against this unjust ruling is to engage in sin.
Yeah, there's no question about that. If you go along with this, you're engaging in sin. Take Daniel, for example. You can't pray to anyone but the king for the next 30 days. If he had complied to that, he would be committing sin. Three Hebrews. You need to bow down to this idol. And when the trumpet sounds, peer pressure was horrendous because everyone bowed down except for them. If they had bowed down, if they had pretended that they were tying their shoes or saying, you know, I'm bowing down physically, but in my mind, I'm still not bowing down. I still believe in the God of Abraham. They would have been committing sin. If they had been silent, they would commit sin. If they had been complicit or compliant, they would have committed sin. We can't participate in the sin of these five lawyers, and they have committed a grave sin. They have ultimately crossed the line, not only tethering, uncutting themselves, untying themselves from the Constitution, but shaking their fist in the face of God Almighty. I mean, that's an awesome thing. They have shaken their fist at the face of God Almighty. They have expressed open rebellion to their Creator. Now, we cannot participate in that. And so when this decision, if it becomes implemented, then we need to resist it. If you are called, for example, to place children in homes with moms and dads, that's your mission, then continue to do it. Don't voluntarily walk away from the calling God has placed on your heart. That's also sin, to walk away from the calling. And therefore, continue to do it. But if they say, "What we're going to revoke your license, and we're going to fine you if you don't stop doing adoptions," then continue to do what God has called you to do. Let them bring out their police cars, and let them put the pastors, and let them put the priest, and the nuns, and the people of faith in handcuffs and take them down to the jail. You may have to ultimately find yourself there. The Apostle Paul found himself there. Bonhoeffer found himself there. And it's not a pleasant thought, but we have to be so committed that we will not compromise. And whether it's the baker who continues to bake or the florist who continues to do floral arrangements but refuses to participate in same-sex weddings, or the clerk that continues to issue licenses for marriage but refuses to issue them to same-sex couples, whatever that manifestation is, you've got to resist, continue your calling, and not be complicit. And do not be silent.
Yeah, man, and that's a question I keep getting, I know you keep getting from people, is what does civil disobedience look like here? What about just for the average parent who's not the baker, who's not a florist, who's not, you know, we know now, Matt, that they're going to use this, leverage this opinion in order to force homosexual indoctrination in our public schools. I said earlier there's strength in numbers. What does civil disobedience look like? It looks like a group of 15, 25, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50, 100 parents marching down to the public school that is indoctrinating children, walking through the doors, demanding a meeting with the principal, demanding that they stop indoctrinating children, demanding that children have a right to opt out of all this, but they don't need to be teaching this immorality in public schools to begin with. But there is strength in numbers. We need to rise up as a Christian nation here against this anti-Christian decision here, this anti-marriage decision, in with peaceful, and I want to emphasize here, peaceful civil disobedience.
Yeah, and I'll emphasize that again. We're talking about peaceful resistance. Peaceful resistance is what we're talking about. And the more people that come together, and you don't have to wait for all your neighbors. Just get out there and make a stand. Now, you say, well, I'm just one individual. Start in small concentric circles. Start closest to your home, which means in your family. Discuss this with your family. What does it look like? Discuss it with your church. Get in a church that actually teaches the Bible. Put it on your social networks. Then move to your community, your schools, and other government facilities and locations, and your elected officials. Make a difference, but do not remain silent. Do not cave in. This is a time of incredible importance. You know, there have been worse times in Judeo-Christian history. Yes, these times are difficult. Yes, we're going to be called to account. Yes, we're going to have to make a decision. But as the scripture says, rejoice if you're persecuted. That doesn't mean that we want persecution. We don't. But these are times that future history will be written about. Will they write that we, the church, remain silent? Or will we write and will we read that this was a moment where history was made, where people bravely stood up and society was changed for the better? This is the moment in which God has birthed us. It's happened so many times when God's people prayed, God intervened, He'll do it again. Visit lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.